We might not respect all of the condiments, but we do respect the bell, as always. Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange Time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, a prospectus from those stories. He's going to tell us if he is buying or selling. There is also an option for pending. I'm just going to put that out there. Well, what we all saw on Sunday will go down as arguably the best Super Bowl to ever be played. What is inarguable is the fact that it was the first ever Super Bowl that went to overtime. Big reason that happened is because of the insane catch by Julian Edelman. It put the Patriots in position to score, get the 2-point, force overtime. Now, we have seen some incredible catches in Super Bowl history. David Tyree, Santonio Holmes, Jermaine Kearse's catch that led to the pick in last year's Super Bowl was insane. Lynn Swann's catch in Super Bowl X. Heck, Julio Jones's catch on Sunday was insane, too. Those other ones are the ones that come to mind. But many are saying this had everything deemed to be the best. Pressure situation led to a win. Insanity of the catch itself checks all of the boxes to make it the best catch in Super Bowl history. The prospectus. You buy or sell that Edelman's catch is the best in the history of the Super Bowl.
It can't be. He himself said how much luck was involved. And I still don't get, as great as those catches are, how do we not look at Santonio Holmes? It was a touchdown that won the Super Bowl, and it was ridiculous. And it was long enough ago to whereas we weren't fully trained. Because remember, that's 2008.
Yeah.
That's 8 years ago that everything was reviewable. So, no, I'm going to absolutely sell that.
I already said it before the game happened that Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. He just matched Charles Haley for the most Super Bowls won by a player, passed Terry Bradshaw for the most ever for a quarterback. He now has been to 7-1-5, passed Dan Marino for fourth all-time in yards and touchdowns, third in career passer rating. I could go down a list of stats. He's going to be in the top portion of it. You get the point. Many insist Joe Montana is the GOAT. Peyton Manning, John Elway, Favre, Unitas, even your boy Otto Graham from back in the day. These are all legendary guys at the position, but many say it's now a one-horse race without question. The prospectus, Tom Brady is the best quarterback to ever play the sport of football.
Well, there's a quarterback of other sports. I've been making this case for a couple of years now, and my theory has been, if I say Brady is the greatest quarterback ever and you present your Montana, Elway, Otto Graham, Unitas case, you're still not going to convince me, which means he's at least in there. So if you're saying there is a definitive answer, there is a football god, and he will come down and smite you if you're wrong, I'm going to stick with Brady and feel pretty secure. So buy that.
A lot has been made this week about your boy Melo. Lots of talk about the team trading him away for Kevin Love. Lots of teams, including Cleveland, telling the Knicks no. Phil Jackson then tweets for the first time in months, likening Melo to a guy he cut in the CBA back in the 80s named Michael Graham.
Jeez.
Graham, known as a great player for a Georgetown team that beat Houston in the Natty.
Yeah, 84.
Yeah, the tweet itself was odd, but the gist of it was that Melo is like Graham and that he refuses to change as a person and a player and thus can't be the leader he needs in New York. Melo's a ball hog, no doubt, but he also leads the team in scoring, third in rebounding, and has been the Knicks' best player for a very long time. And since Phil Jackson took over, he hasn't fixed any of the problems he promised to fix and has basically shut out the media, which is something he promised not to do, and now he has left his coach and players wasting their time answering questions about his behavior. So we all know what Melo's like. Now we see what Phil Jackson is like. The prospectus. You buy or sell that Phil Jackson is a bigger problem in New York than Carmelo Anthony.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but over the last year and a half, I think Melo's actually busted his ass and tried to done the right thing as the leader of that team and the most important team in the number one market in the NBA. I think this is a no-brainer, and I think Jackson, who's supposed to be the Zen master and a unifier, has been kind of a petty punk. No question about it. Phil Jackson is a big problem. By the way, saying no to the Knicks, isn't that like an automatic reaction? So buy that.
Back to football. NFL Hall of Fame announced their inductees this week, and again, they decided not to vote in Terrell Owens. There's no prospectus there. He should be in. But another controversial guy who did get in is Terrell Davis. TD, a vastly popular player during his time with the Broncos, invented the mile-high salute, ran for over 2,000 yards in a season, was All-Pro three times, generally a super nice guy. Unfortunately, he wasn't in the league for very long, only played 7 years in the NFL, and in those, only two of them were full seasons. Finished his 7 years with just 7,607 yards and 60 touchdowns. By comparison, by the way, a guy we think has no chance at the Hall, Shady McCoy, nearly 9,000 yards, 60 touchdowns, two All-Pros in 8 seasons. But as we pointed out yesterday, Gale Sayers is in the Hall with under 5,000 yards, 39 touchdowns in essentially 5 seasons. Running back is an evolving, weird position for the Hall of Fame. But the prospectus, TD should be in there.
Sell it. I don't see it.
Alabama has suddenly had its offensive coordinator position open up thanks to the Falcons defying all logic and reason to hire Steve Sarkisian. So that leads people to talk about good offensive coaches who are available to take the job right now. That, of course, brings the first guy to mind, Charles Edward Kelly. There have actually been columns written by people this week saying that Alabama must hire Chip and that Saban and Kelly need each other. Two alphas taking on and destroying the world of college football one read option pass at a time. But I mentioned it earlier. Jason Cole of Bleacher Report says a source close to him told him that Chip has no interest in the Bama job and is focused on being a head coach or coordinator in the NFL again. All that's great. Chip doesn't currently have a job, and it's Alabama. The prospectus. Chip has no interest in the Alabama OC job.
I think based on what we've heard and the fact that people might not be paying attention to his actions and his words, he doesn't want to come back to college yet. So he has no interest, you were saying?
That is what I said.
Buy it.
Let's finish off with some baseball and some new rules. MLB proposed two of them to the Players Association this week. One, to raise the strike zone from the bottom of the knee to the top of the knee. And two, to do away with the traditional intentional walk. Pitchers would now just tell the umpire they want to walk a guy and would no longer have to throw 4 pitches to do it. Joe Posnanski wrote a column last season that the intentional walk has no place in the game and should be outlawed, which seems over the top. But there have been many things affected by intentional walks and failing at them when you have to throw 4 pitches. Game-changing wild pitches, Miguel Cabrera hitting a go-ahead single on a lazy throw, Barry Bonds single-handedly costing the arms of his opponents nearly 3,000 pitches during his career. Heck, Ty Cobb tripled on an intentional walk attempt in 1907. The intentional walk has been a major part of the game since it began, but is it a waste of time in today's game? The prospectus. MLB should change the intentional walk rule.
Nah, I actually think that by eliminating anything automatic and adding an element of intrigue that doesn't take that long, it ain't broke, don't fix it, sell it.